Good evening, everyone. It's really helpful if you have a Bible open in front of you. If you need a Bible, please put up your hand and one of our welcome team will bring one over to you. We're going to be reading from 1 John chapter 2. It's on page 1226 of the church Bibles. And we'll read from verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. This is God's word to us this evening. Please turn back in your Bibles and have them open at 1 John chapter 2. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, because this is your word, we ask your help to understand it. Open our eyes and our ears to it. Apply these truths to our hearts and make us eager to obey what it says. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you realize tonight that there is a battle going on. There's a battle going on. I'm not talking about what is happening in the Middle East and other parts of the world. This battle that is going on does not involve bullets and grenades. It doesn't involve vast armies and navies or the most up-to-date aircraft. But this battle is powerful. And it rages very close to home. This battle is intensely personal. It preys on the things I love dearest and best. This battle sets patterns for my life. It can determine what I do and don't do. And this battle is going on inside me at this moment and at every moment. This is a battle that affects everyone, and therefore it includes everyone who is here tonight. As a Christian, you could describe the battle like this. Is what is being produced in my life from God the Father, or is what is being produced in my life from a world that is set dead against him? Is what I am seeing in my life as a believer in the Lord Jesus the result of him transforming me? Or is what I am seeing in my life the result of a love for the things of this world? Do we live for God at following Jesus with his help and his strength? Or do we live for ourselves? See, what 1 John in these short verses says to us tonight is that there's an incompatibility. There's a battle going on that both things can't be happening and true at the same time. I cannot love the world. I cannot be dead set against God. And at the same time, love what he loves. I cannot do it. This battle pushes and pulls at me every day of my life, and it will do until the day I die or the day the Lord Jesus returns. And this battle is important because of where it ends up. Look at verse 17. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. This battle that is raging on is about whether I will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus, or whether I will spend eternity in hell. See, John is saying to us really clearly tonight that real Christianity, a real relationship with Jesus, puts Christians in a battlefield. And if John were here tonight speaking to us, I think he would say this: don't you know there's a war on? Don't you know there's a war on? There's a battle on. There are real dangers, real temptations that can do real damage of eternal value. So what help does John give to Christians tonight who are in this battle? Well, three things. The first one, I think, is simply to recognize that in real Christianity, there is a battle raging on. Real Christianity recognizes there is a battle raging on. Look at verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we have to be clear what John is saying when he says to Christians, do not love the world. You see, he's not making some kind of anti-environmental statement there. He's not saying, you know what, just cut down the rainforests. You know, hunt whales to extinction. He's not saying that. And nor is he saying, you know what, don't love your family. Or don't be kind to strangers. He's not saying those things. When John says to Christians, do not love the world, he's defining the world as humanity against God. Humanity at war with God. Christians are being commanded, and it is a command, not to love being at war with God. Not to love the things that God hates. Not to set our hearts and take pleasure and say, this is magic, that which is utterly shameful to God. John must think that this is a real danger for us as Christians. It might seem odd, but if it's here in God's word, there's a danger that we're going to do it. You see, war against God, rebellion against him, is a problem for everyone in the world who has ever lived and will ever live, except the Lord Jesus. Naturally, I don't want to do what God says. I think I know better. I don't have any regard naturally for his ways. I want to do my own thing. I want to choose what I think is right, that I know best. Deep down, I want to be God. If you look over at chapter 5 and verse 19, just flick over the page. John writes there, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Not only do I naturally want to be at war with God, but this world that is at war with God, it's got a most cunning general, the devil, a great enemy. He loves to twist the truth. He loves to deceive. He loves to bring us into even more conflict with God. This is how I was born. This is how everyone is born. So how can I possibly do what John is commanding me to do, what the Lord is commanding me to do? Well, on my own, I can't do it. I can't do it. I love to be a rebel. Remember at the seaside? You got those sticks of rock, peppermint rock. Somehow they got the name of the town running all the way through. It's magic. I don't know how they did it. I'm sure it's probably really easy. But if I was a stick of seaside rock, I would say rebel from one end to the other. I need to be transformed. When God the Father showed me his love in sending the Lord Jesus to die on a cross for my sins, when he brought me to faith through the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross, I stopped fighting for the rebels. He transformed me in his love. Peace broke out through the Lord Jesus. My allegiances changed. And that love of the Father is transforming me to be more and more like Jesus. What was Jesus like? Well, he was never at war with his Father. He always brought him pleasure. He never thought, even for one moment, you know what, I'm just going to love the world. I'm going to do what it wants me to do. He didn't care what people thought. He was always obedient, even as he carried his cross and died in my place. And having been transformed through the love of God the Father with a real relationship with Jesus Christ, instead of being at war against God, evidence that he's transforming me is that I start to love what he loves. I start to do what he wants me to do. But we're not perfect. Not yet. Not until the Lord Jesus comes back. And until I die or Jesus returns, I need to recognize that this battle really is going on in my heart, pushing and pulling me. But I also need to recognize that a real relationship with Jesus means that I cannot love God and at the same time be dead set against him. A few years ago, I read a biography of a man called Eddie Chapman. He was a career criminal. And he had a rare gift. He had nerves of steel. He was able to convincingly say just about anything, and he could make people believe him. He happened to be in prison on the island of Jersey, the Channel Island, in 1940, when Nazi Germany took over that island. To get out of jail, he said that he would spy for the Germans. So he did some training, and it was utterly convincing. And they parachuted him back into Britain to spy for them. The first thing he did was he went to the police station and handed himself in and confessed that he was there to spy for the Germans. Now, instead of locking him up, what they said is, well, we can make you a double agent. We'll get you to spy for us on the Germans. And so that's what he did. And by the end of the war, he had medals for bravery from both sides. He was so slippery, his code name was Agent Zigzag. By the end of the book, you're still not even sure what side he was really on. John says to us tonight, real Christianity, a real relationship with Jesus, there are no double agents. There are no double agents. In this battle that is going on, we may fail. We may fail often. But there's no compatibility. I cannot love the world and have the love of the Father in me. Why? Well, because of where that battle is. You see, real Christianity recognizes the personal nature of this battle. Look at verse 16. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. John describes three things that define what love for the world is. Did you notice them? The cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does. This battle that is going on rages away within me. It is personal. It's not an attack from without. My heart gives me away. What are the cravings of sinful man? Well, what I want to do, I'm going to do it. What are the lust of his eyes? If I see it and I like it, no matter how damaging that may be, I'm going to go for it. What's the boasting of what he has and does? Am I not great? If I was chocolate, I'd eat myself. You might say that it's what I want. I see, I'm great. I want, I see, I'm great. It's all about me. That's the love of the world. Let me give you an example of this from the Bible. Remember King David, as he's on his roof, and he looks down and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath, and he thinks, oh, she looks good. I'm the king. I can have her. And he conspires to have her husband murdered. And he thinks, am I great? And he's found out. And I have similar attitudes. Maybe not to the lengths, perhaps, or the resources that King David has, but I see similar attitudes in my own heart. You know, especially with that danger that I want people to think great of me. I really do. What am I willing to do to make that happen? To have you think great of me? Well, might I be willing to lie and exaggerate and make myself look better than I am? I might be willing to do that. Might I be willing to say what you want to hear so that you think, you know what, Dougie, he's a great guy. On Wednesday night, some of the men here were playing football. And Tricia asked when I came home, how was football? You know what I said? I scored a brilliant goal. It was a kickabout with the lads at Nightingale Academy in Edmonton. It wasn't the FA Cup. But the way I made it sound, it sounded like they should rename the pitch after me. Because I want to be great. What else might I want to do to have you think that I'm great? Might I be willing to cover up my mistakes, my errors, my sins? Might I let you think that I've got a perfect marriage and I'm the perfect husband? As hard as that might be to believe. Might I think my young lad has to go to the best school and get the best results because of how it reflects on me? All so that I can hear you say, you know what, Dougie, you're great. And so I can tell myself, Dougie, you're great. I might be willing to do those things because my heart is a battleground. It is deceitful above all things. I need help. Loving the world is really about loving myself. It's about making me God. I'm number one, and that's how it's going to be. And John wants us to know that this love for ourselves, this attitude of love for the world, of me first, doesn't come from God. It doesn't come with a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Those things don't fit with him. They don't come from him. So what's helpful in this battle? Well, I need the Father's help. I need what comes from him through my relationship with Jesus. You see, the ultimate battle over sin was fought and won at the cross. And Jesus rose in victory 3 days later over sin. If we're trusting in the Lord Jesus, sin is no longer our master. And Jesus graciously and compassionately loves to help us. And a great place to start, Luke mentioned it at the start of the service, is confession. I need to daily confess that this battle is going on, that I fall, that I am a sinner. That there are many times where I've wanted to be God today. I've tried to take his place, and I need to ask for forgiveness. And I need to ask for his help in prayer to change what comes naturally to me. I want, I see, I'm great. Do you remember the story of Zacchaeus? in Luke 19. He loved the world. He loved himself. He loved to cheat and swindle people so that he could be rich, he could be great. What happened when he came to faith in the Lord Jesus? Not only was he forgiven, he was utterly transformed. He said, Lord, I will give away half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anything out of anyone, not only will I pay it back, I'll give them four times as much. Instead of the cravings of the world, evidence that the love of the Father has transformed me will be an attitude that says, what do you want of me, Lord? What do you want of me? What would you have me do today? How can I be of service with my life and my time and my resources and my mind? How can I speak not of myself today, but of you? At the London Men's Convention yesterday, one of the speakers was telling us that on the way there, he was speaking to his taxi driver. And with that kind of, well, the taxi driver's nowhere to go, really, does he? He says, can I tell you how I became a Christian? Can I tell you why I love Jesus? And some of us were challenged because we thought, well, why don't I do that more? If we're being transformed, evidence is that we'll speak of Jesus more and more and less of ourselves. We'll call it, Lord, help me not to crave evil desires today. Sexual, financial, any other way that I'm tempted. Would you help me not to fill my eyes with sin that so easily entangles me and focuses on me? And then, with his help, I'll do it. One question that I've been asking myself this week as I've been looking at these verses is, deep down, what do I truly love? What do I truly love? What do I really find most precious? What do I cherish and treasure above all else? Who is at the center of what I love? Is it me? Or is it the Lord Jesus? If everything about me was pulled together, what would it show that I really loved? Is there evidence that the love of God the Father is at work within me? This brings me to my third and final point tonight, and it's this. Real Christianity recognizes that the outcome of this battle will be worth it. Will be worth it. Look back again at the last verse. Verse 17. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. In this battle we've been thinking about tonight, we know the outcome. The world and its desires pass away. Everything in this world is temporary. Now, that word pass away is a bit like our word for when someone passes by you, when someone walks by you. So think about it in the tube at a busy time. There's hundreds of people streaming by you. You don't stop. Everyone shake their hand. Hi, I'm Dougie. Hi, I'm Dougie. Hi, I'm Dougie. No. That would just be weird. It's not a criticism, but there's just hundreds of people passing by. Even as you walk down through the middle of Enfield. It's not a criticism. It's just strangers are just walking by. The world and its desires are temporary. Like passing a stranger in the street. In comparison to the things of eternity that are permanent and lasting, that's what the desires of this world are like. That's what love of this world is like. It's like snow in Enfield. That's how temporary it is. And I think this gives us a warning, and I think it gives us an encouragement. Here's the warning. Loving the world is dangerous. Because not only does it show that I'm not really a Christian, but the Bible wants us to be certain that this world is passing away. The Bible wants us to be certain that the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus point towards a day when he will come back. And he promises that he is coming back. He's coming back to judge all of those who have not turned to him for forgiveness. You see, those who love the world will pass by. And they'll pass by into hell. What we have truly loved will be exposed for everyone to see. What do we truly love? If you're a Christian this evening, perhaps you need to ask for forgiveness again. I've fallen in this battlefield many times. But evidence that God is at work in my life, and it is evidence, is that once more I will come and ask for forgiveness again. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, don't you realize that this world is passing away? And the desires and the loves of this world will one day be gone. If your hope and your love is set upon the here and now, is set upon yourself, then you're on a crash course with the living God. And the only way to escape that is to admit that, yes, you do love the world, and yes, you are in rebellion against him. But I need to receive the love of the Father that is forgiveness that's found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you trust in him, you're forgiven. And these things are permanent and will last forever. What's the encouragement? We'll look again at our verse. Just the second half. The man who does the will of God lives forever. Those who do the will of God have eternal life. They will spend eternity in paradise, that great place that Jesus speaks of, without pain and without suffering, without any sickness, the place where Jesus is and will be. Those who do the will of God will have Jesus smile and say, come into my house. It makes you want to ask, what is the will of God? How can I know that I will be there, that I won't just pass away? Well, in the previous few weeks, as we've been looking at 1 John, I think we get an idea of what it means to do the will of God. First of all, it must mean that we have a real relationship with Jesus, that we have asked him for forgiveness. That is the guarantee of our eternal life. But there's also a realistic understanding that we need daily to ask for his forgiveness. It's also, with Jesus' help, a growing love for his word that is shown in obedience to what he commands. It's also a growing love for his people that is most obviously shown in a local church. A relationship with Jesus, love for his word, love for his people, a growing hatred of sin. You may be sitting there thinking, those are very ordinary things. But those who are experiencing these ordinary things can take great heart, because these things are evidence that you will live forever with Jesus. Keep doing what seems to be the ordinary things. On Friday, we gave thanks to God here for the life of an older Christian lady who's now with Jesus. At some point in her life, Mae Wells trusted in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of her sins. What was the story of her life, even to a really old age? Love for God's word. She came here on a Sunday and on a Tuesday. She loved God's people. She prayed for her friends and for her family. She served in gentle ways. She told people about Jesus. She would write letters to people who were discouraged. She opened her home as she was able. In lots of ways, her life was the story of an ordinary, gentle Christian lady who was committed to her Lord. She is now with her Lord, and she will live forever. It reminds me of an old poem. One life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. These things that we think of perhaps as unspectacular, a commitment to the Lord Jesus, to his word, to his people, these are signs of life, eternal life. Let me close by asking just two simple questions. What do you love? What do you really love? And where is that love taking you? Is it passing away? Or are you going to live forever? Let me pray. Father in heaven, we find loving ourselves so easy. We love to be our own God. We often love the world. Please, would you forgive our many sins? Please, would you keep transforming us? Help us to love what Jesus loves. Help us to live for what is permanent. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.